How is the moon like dentures? They both come out at night. Why should you marry someone older than you? Because as your looks fade, so does their eyesight. Why do retirees smile so much? Because they can't hear what you're saying. One last one. These are not gray hairs. They are wisdom highlights. That does pertain to our message today, and you'll see it in just a minute. But to the beginning of the message, I want to ask a question. How many of you are familiar, with what the three-letter acronym NOS stands for? Anybody know? All right, okay, so don't shout out yet, because I'm going to explain it. So some people, if you're into the automotive industry, there's two things you think about. There's NOS, nitrous oxide systems, and that's a power adder for your car. You hit a little button, it's like go-go juice, makes your car go faster. I don't recommend it. It's hard on your engine. But it also stands for new old stock. New old stock. Now, that kind of sounds like a contradiction in terms, to say something is both new and old. Well, first of all, let's talk about what stock is. Stock, we're not talking about like stocks and bonds. We're talking about like inventory, parts and pieces. And this can apply to not just the automotive industry, anything that's manufactured, your cell phone, furniture, appliances, anything along that lines. You know, we'll just use the example of a vehicle. You know, when a car is made, a manufacturer has stock of parts. They've got driver's side fenders. They've got passenger side fenders. They have tail lights. They have seats. They have engines, right? They have all this inventory they have to have in order to build a car. And as they are building the car, going down the assembly line, they pull those parts from stock. So if a manufacturer is going to make, say, 100,000 of a particular unit of a car, they don't just make 100,000 parts, right? Sometimes things happen. Sometimes maybe in the assembly process, maybe somebody's trying to mount a fender and they drop it. It gets beat up and dinged and they have to replace it. Or maybe, you know, you buy a new car and unfortunately 3 weeks after you had it, somebody runs a red light and smashes into you. Now you got to get the car fixed and it's not old enough to where you want to total it out. It's worth fixing, so you need replacement parts. Or maybe even, you know, the engine goes bad and it's under warranty and the manufacturer is going to replace it at no cost to you, but they still need those parts. All right, so they keep stock. Now, the problem is after a while, those parts, they take up room. And a manufacturer doesn't want to keep those parts around forever. If you drove a 1993 Dodge Caravan and you got in an accident and you went to a Dodge dealership today and say, hi, I'd like a new fender for my 1993 Caravan, they're going to say, sorry, we don't carry a fender for a 32-year-old car. You know, it doesn't make sense for them to keep those around. So what they do is after a while, they get rid of those parts. Sometimes they just scrap them out. They just throw them away. Maybe they sell them for scrap metal value. And sometimes what happens is other companies will actually go and buy those old parts because they say, well, maybe nobody wants it right now, but down the road, somebody might want them. And in fact, there are quite a few companies that do this, that specialize in this. So with that in mind, let's say, for example, you're restoring a 73 Mach 1 Mustang, which sadly I am not anymore. I sold mine, but I was at one time. If I want to get certain parts for that car, I just can't go and get them anywhere. Let's say, for example, I needed a hood pin for my car. All right. That's what this is. This is a hood pin. You know what a hood pin is? That's when, like, you'll see it. I'm going to put that up there and hope that doesn't drop off. Maybe I'll just set that there. That's instead of having a regular hood latch, you put the hood down, and they have pins you put on the corner of the head. Kind of makes it look like a race car, right? Let's say you needed that, and you were restoring your car, and you wanted one of those, but yours is all rusted up or tarnished or whatnot. So you had to go and find one. Well, you got a couple options, right? You could go look for a used one somewhere. Maybe scour the junkyards of the countryside trying to find one, which to me sounds like a fun afternoon. But for most people, probably not how they want to spend their time. And you might spend weeks and weeks doing this and never find the part that you need. And when you did, maybe it's in no better shape than yours. The other option is maybe to find a new one. Now, there are companies that do remanufacture certain parts, but they're not the original equipment manufacturer, what's known as the OEM. They're aftermarket parts. Sometimes they don't quite fit as well. Or you could look around and find somebody that had bought out the inventory at Ford years ago and had this brand new, yet 50-some-year-old stock, right? Hence the term new old stock. It's a brand new part, never used, but it's 50 years old. Are you a new old stock disciple? Are you a new old stock disciple? Maybe you've been around a long time, and maybe you're beginning to wonder, do I have any value? Does anyone want me? That's the question I want to ask and answer today. Understanding a little bit now about what NOS stands for, again, whether that's for car parts, a washing machine, your furniture, anything. One of the challenges that we mentioned with these parts is that after a time, the manufacturer doesn't have need for them. Not many people are buying the parts, and so it doesn't make sense for them to keep it from a business model. It doesn't make sense to keep them around. There's just not demand. There's no market. Nobody buys them, and they're just taking up space. So to the manufacturer, they become, in essence, old and useless because nobody wants these parts anymore. Do we ever feel that way? Do we ever feel that we've gotten old? Maybe we've been in church 40, 50, 60 years. And you feel you lack value. All your best years are behind you. And at this point, you're a drain. A drain on society and on church itself. Now you might be thinking, well, I never thought that before, Dan. What are you trying to say? Well, I bring this up not to depress you, not to make you feel bad. But honestly, it's a comment that I get a lot. It's a comment that I know is on the mind of some of our brethren here, and quite frankly, by and large, far and wide within the church. I talk to people at feast sites, I visit other congregations, and I get the same sort of sentiment. That's a fair question. Like I said, it comes up regularly within the body, and to be honest, it's not a modern problem. Turn to the book of Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Ruth 1 and verse 1. Says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, and he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. Now they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, so the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So here we're reading the story of Naomi. Naomi, who you probably think of more familiarly as Ruth's mother-in-law. She winds up outliving her husband and her two sons, and so she and her daughter-in-laws are left alone. Now, back in the day, the world was not an equal opportunity employer, and women who did not have a husband or sons to provide for them were left destitute. They really had no way to support themselves. So Naomi, thinking of what's best for her daughter-in-laws, tries to get them to go back to be with their family so at least they can have some sort of support system. Verse 6. It says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her granddaughters-in-law, to her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each to the house of her husband. So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we'll return with you to your people. So this is a very teary scene, right? Naomi knows she can do nothing for her daughters-in-law. So she says, go back, be with your people. They can take care of you. Don't worry about me. And they say, no, we're not going to leave you alone. And she goes through this exchange with them. And Naomi, you can kind of feel for her. She is feeling old and useless, right? There's really nothing that she can do. So the only thing she can do is maybe at least get rid of the burden that her daughter-in-laws would have of taking care of you, of her. And she feels like she's of no use. Goes on in verse 11, after the daughter-in-law say, no, we'll stay. Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? You know, she's past the years of bearing children. She said, turn back, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have a hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She's saying, I'm an old woman. You know, she said, if I got pregnant tonight and had a son for you, and are you going to wait for 15 or 20 years for him to be raised? You know, you're going to find somebody else between now and then. In short, Naomi felt useless. She felt she had no value. She was old. She was washed up. Again, I asked, does that sound familiar? Do we have feelings where we have little self-worth and feel like we provide no value to the body? That's what Naomi felt at the time, which is very sad, of course, to think about. But unfortunately, that's not where things stop. When it comes to these feelings that we start to get as we grow a little bit older. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. It says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. It's a sad realization, I think, that we come to from time at a certain point in time, that as we get older, there is less to look forward to. Now, what I mean by that, when you're a teenager, you might think, well, I'm looking forward to graduating high school, right? And from there, I'm looking forward to getting an education, starting a career, getting a job, getting married, having children. And maybe beyond that, you look forward to grandchildren. But once those things have happened, there's less boxes to check on your list, aren't there? You realize that many of the things, your hopes, your dreams, what you wanted to accomplish in life, they've been checked. And you start coming to that inevitable conclusion. Verse 6 here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It says, remember your creator before the silver cord is loose, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. He's kind of given metaphors here for what happens. He said, then the dust will return to the earth as it was. You know, we were made from the dust of the earth. Solomon's kind of pointing out that eventually that's where we return. It says, in the spirit, we'll return to God who gave it. You know, we understand God keeps our spirit when we die until we are brought back up. And he says in verse 8, vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanities. Now, these bodies wear out. And we know that at death, God keeps our spirit until the time we are resurrected and he gives us a new spirit body. And that's very comforting. But still, it's a somber reminder of the inevitable conclusion of physical life. Is death for each of us. Again, I'm not trying to be sad, I'm not trying to be depressing, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. But this is a question and an issue that comes up. And be honest, it's one I think about. I'll be turning 50 next year, and I know some of you say, 50, you're just a kid. Some of you say, 50, man, that guy's a geezer. And while you might think of that as being young, I'll be honest, I don't necessarily feel that way. I have aches and pains and, you know, I get out of bed and it hurts and, you know, I don't have the energy I once had. But just because we feel old, we feel useless, we feel tired, we feel like we don't have the value that we once had. Just because we feel that way, does that make it true? I give you an enthusiastic and an emphatic answer to that question, which is no. No, it is not true. No, we may not have energy. We may not have strength. We may have a lot of miles on the odometer. But that does not mean we have no value. None of us are worn out, useless, or worthless. You know what's interesting about NOS, new old stock parts? They can be very old. This one, I think, is around 52 years old, and this is last manufactured in 1973. Excuse me. They're very old, but they are also very sought after. They are very sought after. I mentioned a little bit earlier that, you know, other manufacturers will remake these parts, and you can get them cheaper. They might even come with a warranty, but there's a problem with them. When you go to stick it in your old car, a lot of times it doesn't fit right. It doesn't work the way it should be. In short, It's not as good a quality as the original, as it wasn't manufactured to the same specs that the manufacturer gave 50 years ago. As a result, these parts actually become quite valuable. This part might have been worth $20 in 1973. Today, maybe worth $200. 10 times its original value. Why? Because it's of a better quality. Now, in human terms, I won't say that we as older people are of better quality than younger people. All have the same potential to become a part of God's family, to be one with God the Father and Jesus Christ. We certainly shouldn't be proud or arrogant in that regard. As an older person, we are no better than anyone younger that way. But we do perhaps have a certain quality that youth lacks. Now, maybe you can't lift heavy boxes anymore. Maybe you don't have the energy to organize, you know, a social or an event. Maybe you don't have the desire to whip up a 10-course meal and invite a bunch of people over to your house for a dinner. But you know, in the years that went by that took away your youth, they also gave you something. They also gave you something. Let's go to Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. Job 12 and verse 12. It says, "Wisdom is with the aged men, and with length of days, understanding." Now, if you read all this in context, you understand that Job's friends didn't necessarily have the best judgment. They weren't necessarily saying the wisest things. But what this scripture does point out is a truism. Along with that aching back, along with that fading desire and the gray hair, comes something really, really valuable. And that, of course, is wisdom. And it's a part of our responsibility if we find ourselves in that older generation to share that wisdom. Go to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. Psalm 71, verse 17. Psalm 71 and verse 17. Says, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone to come." Maybe we have a few gray hairs now. Getting like me, maybe you have a lot more gray hairs now. Maybe we're not quite as strong as we used to be. Maybe we don't have the stamina that we once did. Maybe we have to rely on God's mercy more than we ever did before. That doesn't mean we don't have value. We should have the willingness. We should have the desire. we should have the wherewithal to declare God's good works, all the things that you've learned over life, all the things that gave you those gray hairs. Any trial that God put you through that made you wiser today, we have a responsibility to share those things for those who come along behind us. Sometimes it's easy to take those difficult times in life and bury them and put them away. Try to forget about them. But you know, the difficult problem that you're going through, or that you went through rather 15 years ago, may be somebody else's trial they're going through today. And I would also go so far as to venture a guess to say, 15 years ago when you went through that trial, there was probably somebody with more gray hair than you had that gave you some words of wisdom. That little vehicle, as we heard in the first split sermon, that helped you get from A to B. Maybe it didn't solve your problem, but maybe it helped you get through that trial. Backing up to verse 14 in Psalm 71, he says, "But I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all the day, for I do not know their limits." How many times have you faced a problem and you saw no way out, no conceivable solution? You thought life, everything you loved, everything you knew, was coming to an end. And that was 20 years ago. And here you are today. Survived, stronger, wiser. And you know God doesn't have limits. Maybe it's just that bit of wisdom that someone needs to hear from you. Verse 16, "I will go on the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only." He doesn't just say, "Well, I know about your righteousness and yours only, God, and I'm going to keep that to myself." He says, "No, I will make mention with it. I will share that." It's tempting to think, "Well, I was young. God called me. He straightened me out. I overcame a lot of things. I've grown. And now I'm just twiddling my thumbs, waiting to die, and then he'll resurrect me and I'll be in the kingdom and my race is run." Things are true to a certain degree, but is any of us just sitting around waiting to die? We can't be. We just read. We need to declare to those that come behind us, alongside of us, God has no limits. We need to share those things, how God has been merciful to you, ways in which he has blessed you, how and where he helped you to overcome, where you thought your life was at an end, and you came to realize it was only beginning. That's the wisdom that comes with age. That's the wisdom that we need to share with others. Of course, there is a responsibility on the part of those others as well. Those who may be on the younger side. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 1. Proverbs 4 verse 1 says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and my attention to no understanding, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep your commandments and live. It's interesting. In verse 1, it says, hear the instruction of a father. Doesn't necessarily say your father. I was very fortunate. I know many of you are. You had good dads who shared with you a lot of wisdom. But if that wasn't the case, this principle still points to going to someone who has lived some life, who's had some experience, who's had some ups and downs. And they, to quote a commercial, know a thing or two because they've seen a thing or two. They can be a valuable source of wisdom to help you in your daily life. Think about it this way. When you get on an airplane and you walk by that pilot, do you want to see somebody who's 25, strong, and brave looking? Or do you want to see a guy who's probably, oh, I don't know, 50, 60, a lot of gray hair, and has done this before? I want the old guy every time. We actually had an experience that speaks exactly to that. When we were heading to the feast this year, we had a rather bumpy landing. And when we got off the plane, we walked by the pilot, and I am sure he had not yet begun shaving. And we got off the next plane, and you could not tell when those wheels touched the ground, and the stewardess, flight attendants let us know that Captain John there was within 2 weeks of retiring. And he brought that bird in just as smooth and calm as you could ever be. Yeah, give me the old guy when it comes to the guy behind the wheel. Still in Proverbs 4, picking up verse 5, it says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my youth. You hear this read at high school graduations all the time. I don't know if you do anymore, but you used to, right? You used to hear this quoted virtually every high school graduation. Of course, it was kind of an admonishment to tell young people, go off to college and learn things. And that's got value, right? But that's not the only place we can get wisdom. It's a good place to get knowledge. But wisdom, as we read in the first part of this chapter, comes from somebody who's got some understanding, who's lived a little life. Verse 6 says, do not forsake her, that being wisdom, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Now, you think about our walk as disciples. I mean, what is it that we're trying to get, right? Well, some level people say, well, we're trying to get into the kingdom, right? Well, okay, yeah, but what's that mean? Well, we're trying to get to the point where we have perfect godly character. That's what we're trying to get to. And wisdom is one of the things that helps us get there. If you consider yourself young, if you think, you know what, I've got a lot of energy and strength, I can do a lot to serve the church, my family, and mankind. That's great. Please do. Please do. But there's one more thing you should do besides that. Make sure that those who might feel like they are losing value, don't feel that way. Make sure to go to them, ask them questions, learn from their years of experience, and get wisdom. It's very tempting to think as we get older, we don't contribute any value either to society, to the church, or whatever. We might feel old, worn out, worthless, but it's not true. Yeah, maybe we've got a few years on us. Maybe we can't serve the way we once did, but we are still extraordinarily of extraordinary value, particularly in regards to wisdom. While the acronym NOS might mean new old stock in the manufacturing sector, I'd like to propose to you that as disciples of Christ, it means something else entirely different. Never out of service. Never out of service. We can never go out of service just because we've been doing this 40, 50, 60 years and we feel tired. As disciples who have gained some wisdom, we have a lot of value. We are never out of service. I'd like to conclude today in Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah 46. Verse 3. Isaiah 46 and verse 3. This was at a time when God's people were being corrected for their turn to idolatry. But it speaks to God's presence always in our life. Isaiah 46 and verse 3 says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb. Even to your old age, I am he. And even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry you and will deliver you." God never abandons us. Likewise, no matter our age, we can never abandon our duty. Maybe we don't serve the way we once did physically, but we can share the wisdom that God has granted us over the years and never go out of service.